The world is getting hotter, and increasing temperatures are expected to amplify floods, droughts, and other extreme weather patterns around the planet. That's the conclusion of a UN report released on Tuesday to coincide with this week's major climate conference taking place in Durban, South Africa. The World Meteorological Organization, part of the United Nations, said the warmest 13 years of average global temperatures have all occurred in the 15 years since 1997. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Tim Aldred, head of policy at UK-based Catholic development agency Progressio. He says that taking action on the effects of climate change is a matter of justice.
I think the issue is that the Kyoto Protocol at the moment is the only legal mechanism that is in existence. So I think the argument that many development and environmental groups are saying is if you give up on that and let it slip, then we're left with nothing at all in place while we look to negotiate a new deal. So I think the strong message that we would like to convey is it's really important to have a second phase of the Kyoto Protocol to allow us the time to negotiate something new.
They've all come to this conference. We have carbon at record levels, and the people there know that something needs to be done. So why is this unwillingness to commit?
Yes, there's a huge gap. People talk about the gigaton gap, which is the gap between the level of emissions reductions that scientists tell us need to take place and the level of commitment that there actually is. And I think the reluctance is that many countries feel that in the short term, to take that step would damage their economies. And of course, we are at a moment when the global economy is under severe pressure. So it makes that political will even harder than normal. But I think it is even more crucial that action is taken. If we don't take the necessary steps within the next few years to bring emissions reductions down, then we will start to see temperature rises. We'll be locked into temperature rises for many decades to come. And, you know, in the long term, that will be bad for economies. It will be bad for development. It will start to hurt us in an economic sense, quite apart from that sense of primary moral duty to care for the environment and be wise stewards of the earth.
Another issue that has been highlighted is by actually President Jacob Zuma of South Africa. He was saying that global warming already is causing suffering and conflict in Africa. He was saying from drought to Sudan and Somalia to flooding in South Africa. That's another major issue, isn't it?
I think we are seeing the effects of a changing climate right now in our own international development program in El Salvador. Just within the past few months, we've seen severe flooding and extreme weather taking place. Certainly, the church in El Salvador has spoken out at the impact of a changing climate on them right now. So I think certainly for the poorest communities around the world, that there is a lot of clarity that the climate is changing, it's changing for the worse, and that action is required, and that it's a matter of justice as well, that those with the power to do so really do focus and take the steps that are needed to move towards rapidly towards agreement and on how we're going to address this serious problem.
I just wanted to move on to two basic things that people need: food and water. One of the greatest threats, it's been said, to global warming is to food supplies. And also we have, obviously, water is another issue. I mean, again, what is the best way to look at that, do you think?
Well, we have to understand that those are very obvious ways in which a more volatile climate will affect us. You know, firstly on food, you know, any gardener knows that if the weather doesn't behave in the way that it's supposed to, even in quite small variations, can really hurt crops. And so one of the effects of a changing climate is greater unpredictability for farmers. We certainly would count volatile climates as a major factor. For example, in the East Africa famine that we've been experiencing this year. And then in terms of water supplies, a phrase we use at the office here is that climate change is water change. You know, we say that quite regularly. People will experience the effects of climate change in unpredictability of water supply, not just for drinking, but also for growing and for agriculture. So these are, if you like, the way that we will experience climate change across the planet, and it'll be, you know, we'll be able to see it in our own gardens and fields.
If there was one issue that you'd really like to see resolved or come out positive from this conference, what would it be?
I think we need to see positive momentum. After the Cancun conference last year, where there was disappointment after the big summit in Copenhagen, but Cancun seemed to come out with a more positive message. We'd like to see that progress continue. I think we'd like to feel at the end of this conference that, yes, we're moving towards a real deal to take place very, very soon. And I think it's just a change of mood. There is a lot of pessimism coming from politicians. There's a lot of negative language coming from politicians, and that really needs to change. We need to start hearing people say, yes, we think a deal is possible, we think we can move forward, and we can get to a level which is recommended by the science. I think it is worth a note on where the church is coming from on this. I'm very encouraged to see Pope Benedict speaking very regularly about the importance of looking at addressing the urgent ecological crisis that the world is facing. I was encouraged by his comments in Benin within the last few days in that regard, just stressing the urgency of setting narrow economic interest aside in the interest of the common good and in the interest of the stewardship of creation for future generations.